Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
That's the way to end the season. Get the number one seed. I told you this wasn't going to be a problem last week. I told you the past in Miami was the past. The present is different. This is a different team. You go to Denver and win. You take care of business against Baltimore in a Monday night game. You go to Miami and you get the number one seed.
You do it in a way that, you know, everyone recognized that last year was just weird, the way they ended the season in Miami.
Well, they learned a lesson, clearly.
Yeah.
The way everybody talked about it this year, they learned a lesson the way they handled the end of last season, lost three of five, the last two, and then the season peters out in Denver. There is regret. There's no doubt in my mind that there is some regret with the way they handled it. And they made it clear, Brady, pedal to the metal, finish strong. They were all talking about it coming back from Denver and straight on through the end. And give them credit. They said it and they did it.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, you do have to admit that the health of the team, the state of the team, is a lot different this year going into the playoffs than it was last year.
No question.
I mean, you know, just talk about health.
Yeah, well, look at the offense on guys that are playing key roles the last half of the season that weren't available last year. LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder. You knew that Miami was going to have trouble stopping the run. You come out in the first quarter, you ran it really effectively. You set the tone immediately. You go right down the field. You mix the run. Brady's 6 for 6 on that first drive. Five different receivers. You immediately take control of the game. Contrast that to what they did last year with the game plan that people are still trying to figure out. This was just such a stark contrast to that. They immediately seized control. 20-0 lead, but midway through the second quarter. And, yeah, you had a couple of blips in the radar along the way, but you never really got in trouble. And when you did, you had huge plays to get you out of trouble.
And the play-action game was huge in Miami, and I think it's been really good most of the season.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you set it up with the 20-carry games from guys like LeGarrette Blount and Deion Lewis, and they were biting. Kiko Alonso was biting. That's how Martellus Bennett was wide open in the back of the end zone to start that game. They were biting on the play action, and that's a new weapon that Brady hasn't always had in his career.
Speaking of new weapons, should Patriots fans be excited about Michael Floyd?
I think so, because of a couple of reasons. Number one, he's able to play a pretty big workload, 3 weeks after arriving. I think that's pretty impressive that he was out there. Now, they needed him because Malcolm Mitchell joined Danny Amendola on the inactive list. But I think the fact that he was able to get out there and do some things, it wasn't perfect. Brady was sort of directing him a little bit, but the touchdown catch where he shows the physicality and the toughness to get in the end zone, the catch on the sideline, I know everybody is really gaga over the cover here for the issue with the block. The block was huge. I'm not taking anything away, but I was much more impressed with the other stuff.
Yeah. So as a result of playing to win, the Patriots didn't have to wait to see what Oakland did later in the day. They knew right after that game that they'd have the number one seed overall, sit back. Everything goes through Foxborough. And we look at the seedings, there's a three teams that could possibly come here to play the Patriots. Who do you think it'll be?
Probably Houston. You know, I think so. Miami's probably going to lose in
Pittsburgh,
so they're eliminated as the lowest seed. Then it's that 4-5 game. I don't feel great about saying it's going to be Houston.
No.
I mean, you have two teams with questionable quarterback situations. Oakland was a team that I think I was intrigued by, certainly, when Derek Carr was running the
show.
You
were in love with.
Yeah, well, I think they were a good football team with an offense that maybe could challenge you. Now that's all over. They're down quarterbacks. I think it'll be Houston, but again, to say all in on Houston,
no.
Scary proposition.
I'm not willing to go there. I agree with Andy and Houston. And Fred, even though they didn't need help because they won the game and they got the number one seed, they got help, I thought, in those 4 o'clock games because Oakland loses to Denver. Kansas City's able to win against San Diego, and that flip-flops Oakland and Kansas City. And I think it's a minor thing, and I don't really think any of us is overly worried about whatever the opponent is, but it eliminated the possibility of having to play Kansas City and then Pittsburgh. In back-to-back playoff games. By Kansas City going to the 2, now that's 2-3 KC and Pittsburgh. They're going to have to play each other, so you knock one of them off, and you only have to play one in the AFC Championship game. That's because Oakland lost that game.
Yeah, so right now the Patriots are sitting back, doing some self-scouting, catching up maybe on Oakland. You know, they've got the tape on Houston. They've got enough tape on certainly Miami.
Right.
So it's, you know, taking care of business this week for the Patriots, and for us, you know, we can look back on 2016 as mission accomplished for the Patriots. All their goals were reached. But, you know, I look at it as kind of three seasons. It started out without Brady. That was a season in and of itself.
That was a good one, 3-1.
Yeah, then I think Brady comes back, and I think, you know, the offense is rolling. He comes right back like he never missed a moment. Defense kind of, you know, a little bit questionable at times. And then Gronkowski gets hurt, and the defense starts to rise, and that kind of creates a third sort of section of the season, if you will.
You know, what stood out to me, I think this was Belichick's best year, certainly since 2001. And those, that to me is the
standard.
Wow,
that's a big statement.
I agree with that, but
You said it.
I know, you're agreeing with yourself.
No, but you saying it's a big statement is what I agreed with. And I think you go back to those first four games without Brady, and it's not only without Brady. You have Garoppolo for a game and a quarter, and now you have to have a rookie, you know,
a rookie with no reps.
With really no reps because of the way they had to handle the preseason, knowing Brady wasn't going to be there. They had to sort of balance that whole thing. And I go back to the very first game of the year, the first touchdown of the season. Jimmy Garoppolo's out there making his first start in a regular season game. He's audibling at the line, hitting Chris Hogan down the sideline for a touchdown, catching him in one-on-one coverage. I just thought it was another example of the coaching that this team gets that I think separates them from the pack, because I don't think they're necessarily across the board more talented than every team they play, but I think Bill Belichick is the difference.
Well, do you think that those first four games without Brady, without their leader, not even in the game, but not even at the facility, you think not having Brady might have kind of helped them in terms of just creating a mood in that locker room?
I don't think so, because I do think it's evolved a lot since then. Since he's returned, and
since the Jamie Collins trade.
But since Gronkowski went down, since the defense was sort of put in a position or not in a position against, a lot happened in that middle chunk of the season. You bring in new players, Kyle Van Noy, you know, Eric Rowe, guys that are making key contributions now. I mean, that was part of it. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in the butterfly effect, and I think that did have a positive effect on this team.
But Collins, you're talking about?
No, the first four games, but it's one piece of a big puzzle.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I felt like some of the stuff that happened, and I think the team was together. I agree with you. I think this team back in training camp showed a great cohesiveness right from the start, and I don't think that really varied. But I think when they traded Collins, the guys that Andy talked about there had to get sort of worked into the equation. It took a while, and I think that's why we saw that middle season that you're talking about, Fred, struggle a little bit.
But I think they improved in getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, they had more pressure as the season went.
As the season went.
And they were more aggressive. I mean, we saw corner blitzes and different schemes over the second half of the season that we didn't see early. Now, again, I'd get back to, I don't know if that's the process of building up a repertoire over the course of the season.
Or confidence.
Getting guys comfortable in their roles, adding personnel that you feel more comfortable doing that. But they evolved as a defense, not just in terms of accomplishments, but in scheme and how they treated each game.
All right, Freddie, so we told you we think they're going to play Houston. Who are they playing?
Houston, yeah. Three games to glory.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, no game to look at, so I'll look elsewhere. The matchup between the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. A lot of people trying to sell me on the fact that the Dolphins could upset the Steelers. Not going to happen. I understand that the Dolphins beat the Steelers earlier this year in Miami with their starting quarterback and the Steelers' starting quarterback hurt. Those circumstances have all changed. Matt Moore not going into Pittsburgh to win. Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown. What did we see from them when the season was on the line against the Ravens? We saw elite production. That's what they're capable of. That's what they're going to bring to open the postseason on Wild Card Weekend to kill the Miami Dolphins.
So the 2016 postseason is going to open with what I think is the absolute worst postseason game I can remember. Houston and Oakland, and really, it's unfortunate that Raiders are part of this equation because I think for the balance of the season, this was a really young and exciting team, a new team that was lighting up the scoreboard, but unfortunately, Derek Carr goes down. That changes the equation. It looks like Connor Cook, the rookie, is going to have to start at quarterback. He goes into Houston to play a team that a lot of people think is the worst playoff team in recent memory. They are at the bottom of so many different categories. Bill O'Brien's team, I think, is going to come out with a win because of the situation in Oakland, and that means Oakland is going to be home for the playoffs while Houston comes to Foxborough. Either way, this is a cupcake for the Patriots in 2 weeks.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week. A lot of people say this is the easiest road, potentially, the Patriots have ever had to go to the Super Bowl. Paul, do you agree?
Yes. I can't remember a cast of beat up and really subpar teams in the postseason. You're looking at 60% of those five teams are dealing with either backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks that the coaches don't really feel good about in Brock Osweiler's case. I look back to Tim Tebow, and I think it was 2011 when they played the Broncos, and that was like a double bye, and then they had Houston in that area, just an overmatched team. This is a repeat of that. I think there is no chance that we're not at least in the AFC Championship game. This is a very easy road.
For the new year, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to tell you why.
I didn't see any way you couldn't.
New year, happy new year, happy agreement here at PFW. I don't respect any of the other coaches, really. Billy O'Brien I respect a little bit, but he still needs to prove his championship medal. And I only respect one quarterback on the field, Ben Roethlisberger. He can make plays. Other than that, you're right. To me, the issue is sometimes you have questionable teams. They generally at least have their quarterback, the guy that somehow got them to the postseason. This year, you don't. Right. In some cases, you may not have the backup. You may be down to the third string. And they're not even guys you're excited to see. The difference between Brady and Belichick, quarterback and coach, and the rest of this field is as big as ever.
Tom Brady has absolutely owned the Steelers during his career. What's to make? I don't see anything that makes this any different.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then you look at the flip side, the Patriots are as balanced as ever. They're a better football team. I don't even have one glaring weakness to point to where I look at a matchup. You know, in past years, maybe I would have said, oh, they can't cover Antonio Brown. But the pass defense is playing as well as it ever has. The run defense is playing as well as it ever. They don't give up points. They make plays. So you can't even point to a single error that could derail the Patriots. It is cakewalk city. And it's why I argued on this very seat about a month ago that it's a failure if not only do they not go to the Super Bowl, if they don't win it.
Yeah.
They're the best.
I'm not willing to go that far, and I don't need
to
slap. I don't need to slap you around.
See, we have disagreement
in the
new year already.
I do agree. Pittsburgh and Kansas City, they're good football teams, but they're not at the Patriots level. It's all on them. I mean, I think the Patriots would have to lose. No one's going to beat them.
And guess what? Even if we're diminishing the opponents, they still give them a fancy Super Bowl ring worth lots of money with lots of diamonds if they win.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
If there's one thing that the NFL's Black Monday reminds us, it's that there are a lot of owners who don't understand the type of people they need to run their football team. I'm not talking about hiring people who understand X's and O's. That's easy. What's not easy is finding head coaches who truly know how to teach, because at the end of the day, that's what coaching is, teaching. And to be a good teacher, a coach needs to be a good communicator. Otherwise, all the football knowledge in the world gets lost in translation. Next, an owner needs someone who knows how to create a culture and then convince a room of alpha dogs to buy into it. That's not easy. Finally, an owner needs someone to put together a structure that will address everything from who sits where on an airplane to nutrition to what to do when one of your players gets in trouble the night before a game. If that person can be the same person as your head coach, great, but that's rare. It usually takes a head coach and a GM who can work together with a clear delineation of power. There's more, much more. But again, the last thing on the list is X's and O's. After all, it's just football. What makes the NFL so difficult to succeed in is everything else.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, Pro Bowl special teamer Matthew Slater. And Matthew, first, I just want to ask you about, there was a lot of talk last week of finishing strong. How do you feel like the team handled that, and do you feel comfortable with the way it ended?
Certainly, I think we had great focus heading into last week. Our preparation was great all week long. And then being able to go out and start fast down in Miami, get up on them early, it was big for us. So I think we finished the season the way we would have liked, 14-2. We're doing a lot of things well, but still feel like we have a lot of work to do.
When we look at the special teams unit, it seems like that's a unit that definitely has great chemistry. You're the Pro Bowler, the captain, but Nate Ebner had a phenomenal year. You got King and some of those young guys. When we see you run down there and everybody going crazy, what's that like? I know everybody says organized chaos, yeah. But is that just competition to be the fastest man on the field?
Well, certainly. It's very competitive in that room, and as you alluded to, we have a lot of good players.
So give me a top three. Who are the top three fastest? I'm assuming you're one, but who's two and three?
Man, I will not include myself in this list.
Okay.
I will say Jonathan Jones, Brandon King, Nate Ebner, Brandon Bolden, tied.
Can't have a tie. As we look at what you were going through this year, you made the Pro Bowl, you're a team captain, and you were just given the Bart Starr Award for leadership on and off the field. What does something like that mean to you?
Well, honestly, it means more than any individual recognition I've ever had as a professional. Knowing Bart Starr and what he stood for and what that award stands for, I'm extremely humbled that my peers and people around the league would decide that I was the guy who's deserving of that award. So it's so humbling, and I've always believed in treating people the right way, trying to do the right things, far from perfect, but just trying to do the best I can one day at a time. So I thank God for everything he's doing in my life and that honor, and I'm very humbled.
I know you talked about making good use of the bye week, but you have on the horizon a primetime 8:15 playoff game. Do you still get the same rush or energy as you get out there for that opening kickoff as you always have?
Oh, man, no question. The game never gets old. As a fan, as a player, you love the game of football, and I'm so excited to be a part of the 2017 playoffs.
And we will close this interview, hopefully, if you're willing, the way you like to close Patriots victories in the postgame locker room. So break us down, Matthew.
Well, we're heading to the bye week. Feeling good about where we're at, but not complacent. A lot of work to be done. So how do we feel about the 2017 playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions, and it's also the end of the season, which means, mercifully, the last Wilson Hart Power Index.
First of all, you're welcome for a great year of the index. The Patriots, number one, finished the season, 3.0 index number, as we've talked about in recent weeks, well ahead of the Chiefs, who are now number two with a 7.0. Then you have
Chiefs,
Cowboys, Raiders, don't talk, Pittsburgh Steelers, Atlanta Falcons, and who did we talk about potentially being the opponent? The Houston
Buffalo
Texans?
Bills?
Yes.
Oh.
Houston Texans are the worst playoff team.
I've just recognized the problem with this.
I don't think you have.
And he doesn't?
No. In all seriousness, it's too cumulative. The Raiders should not be anywhere near the top anymore.
Right. And if I just want to throw it against the wall like most
do, that's not what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry. It's statistics.
We're going to redo this for next year. Don't worry about it.
Apparently just throw teams out. If you have an injury, we throw out the rest of the
team. All right, let's get to the questions.
The 0-1 Patriots.
What do you got, Freddie?
Pete in Camden, Maine starts it out, and he says, with the reemergence of Deion Lewis, it seems that LeGarrette Blount has seen significantly fewer snaps, except in goal line situations. When this happened to him in Pittsburgh, he didn't like it and became a bad apple. He thinks that, scoring touchdowns may have helped him keep him happy, but are you worried at all?
I'm not worried at all for a lot of reasons. First, not to sound like Roger Goodell, but I disagree with the premise. Yeah. I don't think that Blount's snaps have necessarily gone down significantly. I think he's sharing some carries, but he's still getting over 15 carries pretty much all of these games that Deion Lewis has been involved in. And the number one thing is he loves it in New England. He has talked about this constantly. He loves being part of this program, loves being in that locker room. In Pittsburgh, he wasn't playing at all. He was not just getting touchdowns. He wasn't seeing a reduced role. He was the backup to Le'Veon Bell. There's a big difference here. I don't see any problems with this at all.
No. Dave writes in, this may be a stretch, but since Aqib Talib used to be a Patriot, I'm hoping you'll address this. He's referring to the play last week with Michael Crabtree. He's wondering why that wasn't a penalty. Paul?
Is there anything illegal about it? I mean, you can pull a guy's hair. Why can't you pull a guy's chain?
He chooses to wear it.
Well, I think Aqib Talib is
clearly. But if you pulled a guy's hair after the play, it would be a penalty.
Oh,
right?
Well, so you're saying it was a late hit? I saw the whole play where he.
You could
ripped
certainly
the chain
call
off.
On sportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, you
that's
could.
That's a carte blanche rule.
I wouldn't. I mean, I would, but I would also have a rule that you can't wear jewelry on the field. That's just me. So I don't really, you know, if that happens, that happens. I thought it was a typical Aqib Talib move. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that he does to sort of get under the other guy's skin, and it worked.
Yeah, the correct answer is the ref should have thrown a flag for that.
And the police should look into it. I think he assaulted him. He stole his property. He broke his property. All kinds of laws.
It was unsportsmanlike conduct. Stan writes in, I agree with Brady that 14-2 is great place, yet the Patriots' schedule and opponent strength were almost ideal this year. That's why they lost to Seattle at home with a full roster while the Seahawks had no Bennett. Makes me not want to face them in the Super Bowl. Is this the only team you wouldn't want to see?
Well, this is one of those things we often talk about. By the time the Super Bowl comes around, we might look at a team and say, wow, they're playing really well, they're playing really hot. You know, the Packers are a team that have picked up the pace late in the year. You could scare me with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers the way they're playing. Certainly Seattle, based on not just the history from this year, but the Super Bowl history and sort of that rivalry. Those would probably be the two teams. I don't buy into the Giants idea. But again, if the Giants are in the Super Bowl, it means they've gone through the postseason and knocked off other good teams.
They will have beaten all those teams. All right, that's it for this week's questions. We'll be back next week with more of them here on PFW.